reviewing a question from the readers in the April 2018 Watchtower Study Edition. This is the JW Review. So instead of doing our normal Watchtower study review for the upcoming week, we're going to do something a little bit different today. And the reason is the article in the December 2017 Watchtower study edition, it's the article, "I Know He Will Rise." I'm not going to go through this one today because everything that I would want to be addressing in this article is actually addressed in the next week's article, and it's mostly dealing with the resurrection. Because if you read this article, it's talking about why Martha had confidence that the resurrection was going to happen on the last day. And of course, that's where Jesus is talking about resurrecting Lazarus. And so Martha knew about the actual resurrection on the last day, and so a lot of this is dealing with why she was confident in that, looking at other examples of the resurrections in the scriptures. But really, what I would want to focus on is when the resurrection is supposed to occur and what types of resurrections are there. So there wasn't a whole lot to explicitly deal with in terms of what the Watchtower said, although there are implications here. So I thought it'd be best just to wait till the next week to go over this article, "I Have Hope Toward God," and a lot of that is just dealing with the topic. So I thought it'd be a little too redundant to review it, and rather just wait till next week. So I think that's what I'm going to do. So there is this article that was so interesting, and really this is another example of the Watchtower just reasserting its authority, but doing it to such a degree to where I haven't seen anything quite like this in a while. So this is the April 2018 Watchtower Study Edition. Let me scroll up here to the top so you can see the cover page. So this is one of the questions from the readers. And so the question is, why is it not permissible to post publications of Jehovah's Witnesses on a personal website or on social media? It's a very valid question. And I think talking about the legal issues and the copyright issues is completely worth discussing. And the Watchtower actually has every right to have a legal protection and copyright protection from their publications. No problem there whatsoever. But I wonder why the Watchtower didn't just answer the question, talk about the legal stuff, and just leave it at that. But I think the Watchtower is posting this article because they really want another opportunity to reassert their authority and even to do it to a greater degree. So this is actually going to contain some of the strongest emphasis on Watchtower authority that I think I have ever seen, if not seen for a long time. So the article is not long at all. I think it's only two pages here. So we're just going to go ahead and read through the whole article, and you'll see what I mean here. So here's the Watchtower answering the question about posting publications on personal websites or on social media. "Because we offer our Bible-based material without charge, some feel that copying or posting it on other websites or on social media is acceptable. However, doing so violates the terms of use for our websites and has caused serious problems. As is clearly stated in those terms, no one is permitted to post artwork, electronic publications, trademarks, music, photos, videos, or articles from this website on the internet." And that includes any website, file sharing site, video sharing site, or social network. "Why is such a restriction needed?" So these are really valid concerns because, let's say you're a publisher of a book. Let's say I've published some books. Well, I only want those reading my books doing so from what I actually publish. So if we were just to let anyone do whatever they wanted with the materials, well, I could have no guarantee that someone couldn't change my words, claim it was me, and then they would start holding me responsible. So it really does create a lot of complications. So I think it's a very valid concern, especially with an organization like the Watchtower. You know, there should be a concern about that. But, you know, part of the difficulty here is that you're really limited to what's on JW.org, because, as many of you know, if you're going to try to find publications from 30 or 50 years ago, well, you can't do that on JW.org. You've got to go to the Watchtower Library or find PDFs that people have posted online. So it is quite difficult there, and the Watchtower really needs to resolve that problem, because if they don't want to have that problem, then they should start having more full transparency, and they should really be posting all of their literature going back to the very beginning on JW.org for people to research. So if you don't want people going to these unauthorized websites, and there are many of them out there who publish some of the old literature, then you need to do something about it. All right? So let's continue with the article. All the materials on our website is copyrighted. Apostates and other opposers try to use our publications on their websites to lure in Jehovah's Witnesses and others. Planted in those sites is material designed to sow doubts in readers' minds. So yeah, let's just go ahead and assume guilt, and let's just assume that people like me are just trying to lure people in and planting doubts in your minds, like I have some type of ill motive. So they're already assuming that there are ill motives on websites that are opposing Jehovah's Witnesses. So it's not that people like me are just simply trying to sow doubts in your mind. This is a critical evaluation of your organization's teachings. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. And, you know, we could, of course, turn the tables and say that the Watchtower is trying to, let's just say, lure in Catholics. You know, so they can plant doubts in the minds of Catholics. Well, I don't think the Watchtower would view it that way. I think the Watchtower would argue that they are just trying to teach what the Bible says and teach what the Bible says against Roman Catholicism. And they are, I'm sure, happy that Roman Catholics would choose to browse through JW.org. So the Watchtower, of course, is being inconsistent here, and they just want to paint us, whether it's myself, who's not an ex-JW, so I'd be considered an opposer, or apostates, that we are all just sowing lies, and we're just trying to plant doubts, and that's all we're trying to do. So let's continue. Others have used material from our publications or our JW.org logo in advertisements, on products offered for sale, and in mobile device apps. By securing copyright and trademark protection, we have a legal basis to prevent such misuse. And that's true. They do have a legal basis for doing that. But if we knowingly allow people, even our brothers, to post our digital content on other sites or to use JW.org trademark to sell merchandise, the courts may not support our efforts to deter opposers and commercial enterprises. So yeah, that's really true. So if you're a Jehovah's Witness, like, why not just link to JW.org? And you know, the Watchtower has every right to keep their information on their website actually current. So they, if there's like a typo or something, or they need to correct something that they did, you know, they have the right to do that on JW.org. So I think it's fully appropriate to ask people to link whatever you're referencing, and I try to do that myself, to link it directly to JW.org, so that that link is always going to be current and it's directing people to the website. downloading our publications from anywhere but JW.org is potentially dangerous. So here's where I think the Watchtower is really they're really talking about their real purpose in posting this article, and this is just to re-emphasize their control. See, what they could say is downloading our publications from anywhere but JW.org is potentially illegal, right? Because that's like infringing on their copywriting. So why not just answer the question that was originally proposed here? So now they're talking about danger. It's dangerous to download publications. You know, what they really should say is, yes, although it might be illegal, you should always check what you're downloading against JW.org to see if the information there is always accurate. Because what I would say is to research it for yourself to make sure that it's accurate. It says, Jehovah has entrusted the responsibility of providing spiritual food to the faithful and discreet slave alone. And that's Matthew 24:45, something that every Jehovah's Witness probably has memorized. Let's just go ahead and read the verse. It says, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? So what they're really trying to say here, if we want to just rephrase this to fit the JW theology, is Jehovah has entrusted the responsibility of providing spiritual food to the governing body alone. All right. So they're saying the governing body alone can provide spiritual food. But does it actually say here that only the faithful and discreet slave dispenses or gives spiritual food? It doesn't actually say that. It just says that only the faithful and sensible slave is put in charge of the household. So it doesn't mean that no one else besides the faithful and discreet slave can provide spiritual food, because I can open up my Bible right now, take it to anybody, and dispense or provide or give that spiritual food to someone else. But ultimately what they're trying to say is that the food here is the publications. And so only the governing body can create these publications. So you can really see how the Watchtower is completely misconstruing this verse to give the governing body just a complete and total control. And even in JW theology, it doesn't really make sense, because anyone a Jehovah's Witness can encounter on the streets or at the door or wherever can ask a question about the Bible, and the Jehovah's Witness can open up their Bible and they can explain the Bible to someone. And is that not giving spiritual food to someone? Well, of course it is. Anytime you're providing biblical teaching to someone, you're giving spiritual food. So even within their own theology, this whole thing doesn't make sense. But that really doesn't matter, because the Watchtower can simply publish this understanding of Matthew 24:45, and all Jehovah's Witnesses simply have to agree with it and go with it. That slave uses only its official websites to publish spiritual food, and that's JW.org, TV.JW.org, and WOL.JW.org. And we have only three official apps for mobile devices: JW Language, JW Library, and JW Library Sign Language. We can trust these products to be free of advertisement or contamination by Satan's world. Wow. If the spiritual food passes through other channels, there is no guarantee that it has not been altered or contaminated. So really, this is trust us and trust us alone. Don't trust anybody else. So this is just re-emphasizing again, just complete and total control, and I would say really oppression of information, because the Watchtower doesn't really want you to even examine anything else, because they're saying don't even examine them, just trust us and trust us alone, so that when you do see something else that might even seem to be contradicting Watchtower teaching, you can simply dismiss it, because you have your full and complete trust in JW.org. And many Jehovah's Witnesses just aren't going to see it that way, right? But in reality, that's how they have to see it. And that's really why I've had people bring this up in other forums, to where they ask questions like, well, what kind of tract should I pass out to a Jehovah's Witness, or what type of literature should I pass out to a Jehovah's Witness? And my answer to that is you shouldn't do it at all, because they're going to simply hand it back to you, or just not take it at all, because they've already concluded from the outset that any material that you're going to give to them is from Satan's world. It's not JW.org authorized, so it's automatically false. So really, no information could ever be brought to the table that could potentially refute Watchtower teaching. So they're really creating this like safe zone. And this is almost the more I read stuff like this, this is just sounding more and more like 1984 stuff, or to be even more relevant today. It's even sounding a lot like what the leftists are doing, and they're trying to just suppress any contrary viewpoints in the name of what they call tolerance. So what Jehovah's Witnesses are doing here is not a whole lot different, and that's just to suppress and just dismiss anything else that competes with their dogma. So paragraph 2. Furthermore, posting our publications on websites that allow comments provides a place for apostates and other critics to sow distrust of Jehovah's organization. Some brothers have been drawn into online debates and have thus brought added reproach to Jehovah's name. An online forum is not an appropriate setting for instructing with mildness those not favorably disposed. So in the past, the Watchtower has said things about, you know, creating your own website or going into discussion forums on the internet and doing stuff like that and having these online internet debates. And I've just seen Jehovah's Witnesses try to spin that so that they can continue doing these online debates. But can this be any more clear? And is there any way for those very, very few Jehovah's Witness apologists to continue doing what they're doing online? And of course, they're all doing it under just an anonymous type of name, so no one can ever find out who they really are. But really, is there any other way to spin this so that they can continue doing that? I really don't think that they can, because by doing those online debates, you're bringing reproach to Jehovah's name. And an online forum is just not appropriate for instructing people with Jehovah's Witness teaching. You're just not to do that there. All right. And of course, they're already concluding that any of us who are critics of Jehovah's Witnesses, we're just sowing distrust in the organization. Well, in a sense, that is true, because I don't think you should trust this organization really because of this article alone. Why should you trust an organization that says, don't examine anything else, just ignore it, because those are all lies. Just trust us and believe what we're saying. Should you trust an organization like that, right? And you can even look at other nations in the world that are really trying to suppress information. Just think about North Korea, that doesn't even give people access to the internet, right? And so there's so many things that those North Koreans just simply can't have access to. So there's a difference there, because they're making it totally illegal and inaccessible there, whereas at least if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you know, living in a Western country, you know, you have access to this information, but the Watchtower is saying, you know, you shouldn't go there and you shouldn't trust it, right? So they're just getting more and more oppressive with their authority. So if you're going to ask someone like me, you know, I'm going to say, yes, look at the information that is critical of your viewpoint and examine it, all right? Test it. See if it's really true. See if your viewpoint can actually hold up to scrutiny, right? So I don't think you should be afraid of information, and I don't think you should be automatically dismissive of information until you've actually researched it for yourself. So if anything, what I think this stuff is going to do, I think it's going to make Jehovah's Witnesses more curious about what's out there, because let me give you one example. This book, Crisis of Conscience, the Watchtower is going to say, don't read this. This is from an apostate. And you're going to look at this and see that this is from a former governing body member, but don't read it. Don't see what's inside. But isn't that going to arouse curiosity, right? It's almost like, you know, when your parents, when you're a child, saying, don't open that cabinet. Don't ever look and see what's in there. Well, any child is gonna go, huh, I really want to see what's in there, right? Same thing here. If you just keep on telling Jehovah's Witnesses, don't look in there. Don't open it. Don't read it. It has lies in it. I think more Jehovah's Witnesses are going to want to read this. And isn't that the case with a book like this? You know, so I think the Watchtower really has a very, very poor tactic here, right? So I just think it's just so interesting that the Watchtower puts things this way. And really, it's just going to create even more problems for them. And haven't you realized that the more the Watchtower asserts their control, the more likely people are just going to want to look at the information they shouldn't be looking at, and in turn leave the organization altogether. So let's continue with the paragraph. It has been observed that fraudulent social media accounts and websites have been created in the name of the organization, the governing body, and its individual members. I don't really know what they're talking about there. But nonetheless, however, no member of the governing body maintains a personal webpage or a presence on any social media site. You know, and the reason is because the governing body operates as a class. They don't operate as individuals, which actually goes completely against Matthew 24:45. And let me share with you why. If you keep on reading, you can go to verse 48, where it says, an evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour which he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the faithful and discreet slave are individuals. They're not a class. The reason is because there is not an evil slave class. There is individual evil slaves that may start to disobey the master, and then the master will come and they will throw that slave into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't make sense to say that the whole class is going to be evil and that Jesus throws the whole class to where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It makes so much more sense to say that Jesus entrusts Christians to be in charge over the household of Christians as individuals, and to give people as individuals spiritual food at the proper time. But if certain individuals disobey the master, then the master is going to judge them individually, right? So, you know, let me give this as a perfect example. So let's just say Ray France really was a true apostate, right? Let's say the Jehovah's Witness organization is true and all of that. I'll grant them all of that. But Ray France leaves and Jesus comes back, and Jesus judged Ray France as an individual. right? And that makes so much more sense that Ray France would be judged as an individual. And just because Ray France apostatized from the Jehovah's Witness doesn't mean that Jesus, when he returns, is going to judge the whole governing body on the basis of what Ray France did. That doesn't make any sense at all. So really, this whole thing about the governing body maintaining personal websites, even if Matthew 24:45 is only talking about individual governing body members, why couldn't an individual governing body member post his own teachings online, right? Because he's dispensing spiritual food and he is one of the faithful and discreet slave members, so why couldn't he do that? But let's continue. Directing people to JW.org helps to spread the good news. The digital tools we receive for use in our personal ministry are continually being improved. We would like everyone to benefit from them. Therefore, as the terms of use indicates, you may email someone an electronic copy of a publication or share a link to material found on JW.org. And notice, you're not emailing people and trying to explain your beliefs and things like that. No, you are just pointing people to JW.org. And here is the kicker. By directing interested people to our official websites, we are connecting them with the one true source of spiritual food, the Bible. No, that's not actually what they say. So let me read this again. By directing interested people to our official websites, we are connecting them with the one true source of spiritual food, the faithful and discreet slave, or the governing body. Get this. Just don't... You've really got to hear what this is saying. This is one of the most amazing statements the Watchtower has ever made. And I don't know if there is even one single example in the whole Watchtower history that says something as strong as this. Feel the weight of this and what this is actually saying. The governing body is the one true source of spiritual food. So this right here is not the one source of spiritual food. This is a source of spiritual food, but it's not the one source of spiritual food, and that is the governing body. The Watchtower didn't actually have to say that there. They could have said that the websites themselves are the one source of the spiritual food, because of course JW.org contains the scriptures, and they want you to read the scriptures, but they also want you to read the articles. But it says that the one source of spiritual food is the faithful and discreet slave, or the governing body, and that's just such an amazing statement. I even wonder if the Watchtower even thought through what they were actually saying there. And so if you're familiar with the doctrine of sola scriptura, this is an outright denial of sola scriptura, because they're saying that the organization or the leadership structure is the one source of spiritual food, because ultimately they can only approve or reject something as spiritual food. So everything falls under the authority of the governing body. So you have the governing body here, right? Then under them you have JW.org, and JW.org is really that filter. So everything that proceeds from JW.org, whether it's the Bible or the publications, that's all just approved by the governing body. What an amazing, amazing admission there. So here we go to the very end. The only trusted online digital sources of spiritual food. So no other source of spiritual food can you actually trust, or nothing else online can you actually trust as a source of spiritual food. except these right here. This is authoritarianism at its fullest, saying you can only trust this. Nothing else can you trust. That is such an amazing admission. So I really hope that all of you can really feel the weight of this. And I hope if you're watching this and you're a faithful Jehovah's Witness, I hope you can feel the weight of this and how the Watchtower is telling you these things. They're asserting their authority without any biblical representation whatsoever. There is no biblical support for asserting this type of control. So, wow, what an interesting article, and what a unfortunate article that the Watchtower just continues to reassert its authority. So, thank you for watching, and thank you for listening. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.